brought to you by Penguin.
Operation Trumpsformation by Paul Howard, read by Rory Nolan. Prologue. I don't believe it, and I mean that quite literally. The code for the gate has been changed. I put in 2009, the first year that Leinster won the Heineken Cup, but nothing happens. Then I try 2011. The second year that Leinster won the Heineken Cup, except it ends up not being that either. So then I try 2012. God, we won a lot of Heineken Cups. And that's when I hear Surika's voice coming through the intercom. She's like, "What do you want, Ross?" And she sounds more sad than angry. I look up at the security camera and I go, "Yeah, no, you changed the code." She's there.
"I asked you what you wanted, Ross."
I go, "Obviously I want to get in."
She's like, "Ross, what part of our marriage is over do you not understand?"
"I don't accept that it is over. I'm still hoping you can find it in yourself to forgive me for what I did." "I rode a woman in Dorky." She goes,
"We agreed that Saturday was your day to see the children. You can't just turn up randomly like this."
And I'm there, "I'm not turning up randomly. I forgot something when you fucked me out."
"What did you forget?"
"Yeah, no, my rugby tactics book."
"Your rugby tactics book? Okay, do you actually need it?"
"Is that a serious question?"
"As in, do you need it right now? Could it not wait until the weekend?"
"After my heroics for Sea Point last week, I have to accept that a lot of clubs are going to be sniffing around me now. Maybe not as a player, but you'd have to believe there's a coaching role out there for me. That book contains my whole, I don't know, psychology on the game." The gate suddenly pops open and in I go. I trudge up the gravel driveway towards the gaff. She's standing on the doorstep with her arms folded tightly. I'm a pretty good reader of body language. She definitely still wants me. I'm there, "You look well." She doesn't. She looks like shit, like she hasn't slept for the past week. I suppose it's possible that she hasn't.
She goes, "Just take whatever you came for, then go, Ross."
Refusing to even look at me. She turns sideways to let me in. I step past her into the hallway, then up the stairs I go. It's not in its usual spot on the top of my bedside locker. As a matter of fact, I turn the entire bedroom upside down looking for it, but it's nowhere to be found. Then I just happen to stick my head around Honor's bedroom door to ask her if she's seen it. And that's when I spot it on her bed. I'm like, "Okay, what the fuck is it doing in here?" And I start flicking through it just to make sure she hasn't written anything rude in it or drawn dicks all over it like she's done before. She hasn't. There's just the stuff I've already tip-exed out. It looks like I got her just in the nick of time. I tip downstairs with the book under my arm. Surika is still standing by the front door, again with her arms folded. I'm like, "So, how have you been?" She goes,
"How the fuck do you think I've been, Ross?"
Surika never swears, except when she's with her closest female friends and they're all talking dirty. Usually about Gordon Dorsey or one of the happy pair guys. Vegward, as I call them. I'm there. "I know I'm repeating myself here, but that woman meant nothing. She put it on a plate for me, made it nearly impossible for me to say no." She bursts into tears. She goes,
"You fucking ruined everything, you stupid fucking fucker! And for what, Ross? For what?"
"It doesn't have to be the end, Surika."
"Do you honestly think I can just pretend it never happened?"
"Hey, you've done it before. Why not?" She dries her eyes with the tips of her fingers. Then her expression suddenly hardens.
"Not this time," she goes. "I deserve better."
I don't think she means that. I notice she's still wearing her wedding and engagement rings.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?